it's there. But take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, a familiar text, and often it's used as a Mother's Day text. But I want to use it in the sense of effective praying, fervent, passionate praying. We know the story. We understand the fact of Hannah and all that God was doing. And God had brought her to the place she wanted children. She had no children. But let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, the Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but notice Hannah had no children. And I want you to keep that in mind, and as we look at it, you'll recognize God deliberately allowed that to happen. God allowed it to happen. And then in verse 3, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, God allowed this. God had a plan in this. Keep that in mind with the circumstances you and I face in life today. The things you think are trying to destroy you may be the very things that God is trying to use to make you greater for Him. Notice, provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because, now notice this, the Lord had shut up her womb. God allowed that confrontation. God allowed that situation in her life. Where's God? Now, that compare that today with our situation, what's going on, and what I think of what's happening to many people today that are hurting, going through great trials. And notice, in as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she wept, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And the answer is no. God, she wanted a son. God created her to have children. And sometimes that happens in life. And so verse 9, so Hannah rose up, and notice, after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli was a priest, sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And as she was in bitterness of soul, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give unto him, the Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And let's pray. Father, it's hard to say thank you for the problems. Father, it's hard and difficult to recognize what's happening in many parts of the world today. My mind has been upon those who are even Christians that we're still hearing words from, that are suffering, that are going through trials and testings because of their faith in Christ. They're being sought, and if they're caught, they will lose their lives. How I pray for them and God's protection upon them. Lord, I recognize the whole world is turned upside down, and yet, God, I have to remind myself that God is still on the throne. God, that you're trying to do a great work, and Father, nothing hinders God but the people of God. God, how I pray for this ministry, how I pray for this community. And God, I recognize we have many in this town that we've prayed for over the years. And God, I know that the pastor has thank you for him and his wife and their faithfulness. But how I pray, God, that maybe through this, God will remind us to get a hold of God, to believe and expect great things from God. There is no place too hard for God to work. There is no soul too difficult for God to save. And so, Father, we need you. We are empty. We're broken apart from you. Lord, teach us and be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to remind you some things in recognizing where we're living at in this time frame in the last days, And I believe with all my heart we're there. I really do. Now, once again, I don't know the time nor the exact moment nor the day. And I do recognize God could give us a reprieve, and that would be great, but it doesn't look that way. I had some neighbors where I lived at, some are saved, some are not. And really, I mean, when all this started taking place, people started, knowing I'm a preacher, they start, what are we going to do? I said, you need to make sure you know the Lord. There is no other defense. There is no other help. And you think about this right now. I mean, Biden left Christian suffering in Afghanistan, and some of them are still in hiding. Many have been killed. I mean, that's just hard for me to comprehend, but that's the day and age which we're living today. And it's not just, I mean, it's around the world. People are suffering greatly, terribly. And I'm thankful that, you know what, today you and I can meet. We've got freedom here. You've got a building, and I'm thankful for that. Yes, I would love to see it packed, but I recognize, listen, dear friend, there's nothing too hard for God. And why hasn't it grown more? I mean, we all want that. I pray for that. I know your pastor, he's laboring hard. But I do believe through all these things, God can take that and do something greater through the ministry and through your lives. But it takes us together collectively, believing and expecting great things from God. God doesn't build a church on a personality. He wants to build his church on people who love him and know him and seek his face above all things. When I think about the last days, and I mentioned Israel becoming a nation, and that's when I believe the time clock of prophecy began. But I want you to think about this as something else to think about. The things that are happening in Israel is unbelievable. I mean, in a country that's only the size of 8,100 square miles, that's it. That's it. My goodness gracious, that's unbelievable. Yet they've accomplished, they've got the greatest technologies, the greatest military in the known world today. That's God. The many times when they would have been overran, God delivered them over and over and over again. But in recently since the election, and by the way, Israel had its election. And the prime minister they've got today, they say he's very bad. He's not very good. He's very weak. He's even made statements, it's okay if Iran has nuclear weapons. You know what Iran says? Yes. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to wipe you off the face of the earth. They have never changed. Do you realize 50 years ago that Iran and Israel were allies? And most of that part of the world was? Isn't that astounding how things change? Amazing, isn't it? And yet recognize that talking about the last days and where we are today, I want you to think about this. I mean, all of a sudden since the election, to show you how fast things have changed, and that's why I'm telling people, you better look up. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I do believe it's going to be soon, the way things are looking. And, you know, it's getting more intense. The attacks, the hatred towards Christians, the church, the Jewish people is unbelievable. But the astounding thing is, when you read Ezekiel 36 and 37, there's the establishment of the nation of Israel. In chapter 37, God asked the prophet, can these dead bones live? And I like what he said. You're the only one who knows that one, God, because that looks pretty bad there. I mean, they're just dead bones. Well, God was showing him, I will bring the nation back into the land. I will make them a nation once again. You know what's amazing? I want you to think about this. Do you know that they've not spoken the Hebrew language for 2,500 years? When they were dispersed, when they came back into the land, they didn't speak the Hebrew language. Jesus did not speak the Hebrew language. They had spoken the languages from the different countries they came from. God declared that one day when they got back in their own land, I think it's Zephaniah, I don't remember, chapter 3, verse 9, somewhere along in there, you'll have to look it up or ask me afterwards. But I think God declared that they would have their own language. In the early 1900s, God led one Jewish man in Europe, said, we need to start learning the Hebrew language. He did. Other Jews got on the bandwagon. And one by one, now guess what? They have the one language. That is a miracle of God. No nation has ever returned after 2,500 years and be again a nation after being totally wiped out. Yep, they're still there. There's probably 14.5 million Jews alive today, and that's it. And yep, they've done more to turn the world upside down in accomplishments and everything else. But now something's happened, like I said, since the election. Now, I want you to think about this. The Lord's coming soon. All of a sudden now, when Israel had good relationships with Russia, you may not have known that. They did. Now they don't. Now, all of a sudden, Russia has now become allies with Iran. Now, all of a sudden, Russia has become allies with Turkey. Interesting. And by the way, in Ezekiel 38, chapter 38, 39 talks about the coming war with Russia. It mentions its allies and those the very ones. 3 weeks ago, Turkey made a statement called Russia and said, we need to invade Israel. We need to take it over. Now, before that would have never been considered. But guess what? It wasn't long ago that Israel found one of the largest deposits of natural gas in the world off their coast, a little country of 8,000 miles. By the way, you know how much land God gave them? Over 300,000 square miles. When they were not in the land, there was hardly no rain, no moisture, nothing would even grow. Read Mark Twain's book when he talked about coming into the Holy Land. He said, this is a waste. There's nothing. And there wasn't. But now it's growing. It's because they're in the land, God is blessing them once again. Now, all of a sudden, Russia says you're under. See, Russia's main source of income is natural gas to Europe. So now, all of a sudden, God said, I'll put hooks in their jaw and I will lead them. And all of a sudden, all these nations will one day, and guess what? They're already lining up on some of the borders already. Did you know that? Jesus is coming again. You think God's trying to get our attention today, where my affection should be, where my heart should be? I mean, I don't know. Things could turn around. Only the Lord knows this. But I'm just saying, we need to look up. Our redemption draws nigh unless God changes things. The Bible is accurate. You know why God gives us this? So we can know, we can trust the Bible and stand on the Word of God today. Over and over again, His Word is trustworthy. Read chapters 40 through 48. You know what? I love those. That's the millennial reign. Peace. Prosperity. No more corruption. Oh, hallelujah. What a day that will be. But just let me give you some simple thoughts tonight. As God's been digging with my heart on many issues, about being real, about emptying myself of me and my pride and letting go of the hurts and the angers and the frustration of this world and setting my affection on things above. And I have to confess, because you know what? I was so caught up in doing this, doing that, and, you know, serving God. But God said, wait a minute, I want a relationship with you, Dave Cook, more than I want anything else. And you know what God wants from you? He wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him. He's not impressed with our service. He's impressed with our relationship. And when the relationship's right, oh man, you'll want to serve God. And how do you enjoy coming to church? How's your relationship in the Bible ordeal? I mean, I love the songs. And you know what, Chris? You're doing a great job. And I couldn't do it. Doing great. And you know what? I mean, God, you have a Bible in your lap, and there's places that would love to have a Bible. We have freedom that people are now losing. We may lose one day soon unless God intervenes. Did you realize that? You know what? Thankful for the freedom we still have to. And I'm going to say, Lord, thank you. And by the way, the governments can't do anything but what God says. Yes, I'm going to allow it. So all these things that are happening, all these difficulties and problems and uncertainties. And man, I was telling some of the people, I was shocked. The price of food has going up, not only in the States, but I mean, I was shocked to see how it's going up here. But you know what? God still reigns. You're trusting in the government for security. It may be gone tomorrow because many countries are on the verge of collapsing. Some have already started collapsing. The only security we have is in Jesus Christ, and God will take care of His own. The Bible talks about these last days. So all these things, I believe, are happening to bring us to the point, hey, get a hold of God and know God. Can God still do great things in these last days? Absolutely. Without question. And so when I look at the fact of Hannah, I mean, just some thoughts that I jotted down as God has been working my heart, preacher, that, Lord, teach me how to be more fervent in prayer. And then I began to recognize, I thought about that, God was allowing things in Hannah's life to happen before she had a passionate prayer life, fervent prayer life. Oh my goodness, man, did she ever weep? Did she get a hold of God? There was no more sincerity in any person than you would find in Hannah. And when those things begin to happen, God begin to move. When I think about prayer, I'm reminded of, oh my goodness, like Moses when he prayed and the mountain was shaking. Do you realize that you and I have as much power with God as Moses? That's not a respecter of persons. Can God still do great things? I mean, I'm thinking about this town here and I'm still burdened for it. And I know you folks are. But listen, there's so many hurting people. There's so many people in bondage and people in, that are on addictions and other things that are hurting. But what do we? How do we reach and how do we penetrate this sin-hearted life and those that are broken? The power of God, not the flesh of the man, not our flesh, not our wisdom, but it's going to take God to penetrate the heart and mind to set them free. We need the programs, but we have to have His presence before nothing will ever take place. It was the power of God that saved me and set me free. It wasn't the personality of the preacher or the person that loved me. And I'm thankful for that because that surely made a difference to make me want to accept it. But it was a personal relationship with God. God wants to be real in your life and bring you to that place that God can use you to move mountains. When I think about that, I'm reminded of the fact of Elijah when he prayed, the fire fell. Boy, we need the power of God today on people that have become cold and stagnant. You know what? That was me. I was mechanical. My prayer life, I was going through the prayer life, but I need God. I need the stirring. I need a revival. I need rejuvenation in my life when it's seeking God. Oh, to know the... Do you have that hunger in your heart to know God and see His presence? And by the way, when you study the life of Hannah, you'll find in every great movement of God, what you see that happened in her life, you'll find in every great ministry. In every great movement of God, you find when I saw that revival that took place when I was in Bible college, and I thought about that in relationship to what happened to her life, what she went through, and the same thing happened to theirs, that God, we're empty, we're undone, we're broke. She realized she had a need. By the way, Hannah's need could not be met by man. Her husband, the doctors, the religious people, no one. It took God, divine intervention and prayer for God to make the impact, but she had to recognize it. She had to see it. By the way, Hannah had everything. She lacked nothing. Wealthy, love, a husband that loved her, no doubt had servant. She lacked nothing, but she recognized, I have a need in my life, and it's, man, I want this. And God used that situation. God allowed that situation, even allowed testings in her life to bring her to the place, to bring her to her, bring her to Him. Is God trying to bring us to Him that He may bless us and to work through it? I think that He is, preacher. God's been trying to get my attention. Boy, I wish I wasn't so hard-headed sometimes, amen. But God is so loving. The greatest thing is to see, is to know God. You look at Isaiah, he prayed when he was so discouraged over the nation of Israel. He went into the temple, Isaiah chapter 6. God allowed him to see the glory of God and the majesty of God. And man, he was fired up and ready to go again. Lord, we need to see and to know that God still lives. Look at Christ. Look at Paul, the early church, and on, and many great saints of God. I love the missionary stories. Our God did great and mighty things in their life, but you know what? We need it today more than ever before. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 65, 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God is more eager to answer your prayer than you are to pray. How about that? And I got all these verses, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn there. Listen. But as I meditate on these verses, I thought about number one for the sake of time, and I'm not going to read all the verses or we'll get bogged down. Because I realized after eating that food, that was so good, but you know what? All of a sudden, I get drowsy. So I fall asleep, don't disturb me. Is that okay? No problem. We'll just sneak out. Amen. But notice with me, I thought about this, and I compared it to my own life as the fact that, first of all, before God answered her prayer, she had to become dissatisfied. She had to become dissatisfied with her position as a wife. Her possessions, what she owned. Oh. She had to be dissatisfied with everything around her wealth, everything. She had to come to the place that nothing meant anything to her. Until God is number one in my life, I cannot enjoy the blessings. And God wants me to pray. I mean, we're called to pray. Intercessory prayer. Listen, prayer is God's method for revealing heaven. God's prayer is God's method for saving the sinner. And if we're going to reach the lost and make an impact, and listen, Lord, we need You. And so God's been trying to empty me once again. You know what? That's a lifelong process. You think by the time 71, you think I'd learned the lesson, but I keep forgetting, and God sends me through refresher courses. But that's the flesh. God knows we're but human. We're but flesh. But then second of all, I noticed something else in verses 5 through 10. I'm not going to read the verses for the sake of time. I already read it. but she was broken and tested by God. You remember the verse I read? God had shut up her womb. God allowed that scenario. Well, if God is God, God of love, why does he let that happen to me? Because he loves you. Why do these things happen to me? Don't know, but God doesn't make mistakes, does he? What is God trying to work in your life? And can I ask you, what are the accomplishments of prayer? Do you have a fervent, passionate praying? Have we allowed discouragement to take effect in my life or your life from hindering us to believe that God can still do great and mighty things tonight? You know, there's some ministries I'm seeing that are beginning to get a hold of this principle here. And all of a sudden, through all these things, through great trials, great testings, one particular ministry in particular, and I think I told you, pastors, the fact that it's in Montgomery, Alabama. I love the man. Labored, and they run around 250, 300. COVID hit, and quite a number of the members died. And, they shut down. They had nothing for, it was quite some time, same as you guys had to face some of the battles there or here. And I remember I came by to preach for him about 2 weeks after he first started back. He said, I have to confess, Brother Dave, I was discouraged. They had 10 people, a church that ran almost 300. But he said, I'm determined. God is trying to do a work in my life, and that's more important than numbers. Bingo. Now the church is starting to go upward again. I preached for them just a couple of months ago. They had close to 100. Now, why does God allow these things to happen? God brings us down that he may bring us up. God has to empty us of ourselves. God has to break us. God has to strip us of everything I'm trusting in that we might honestly know what fervent, passionate prayer that I can't pray that God give me this. No, Lord, we just want God. Lord, we want souls to be saved. Lord, we need revival. Lord, I don't want to pray and just feel an empty prayer. I want to know that I sense the power of God in my life and the stirring of God in my soul. Lord, we need you. Canada needs the Lord. Thompson needs the Lord desperately, and I'm really burdened for so many people that are hurting. But also, you know what? It's not just the unsaved, it's the believers that are hurting, and many are weary and tired. And I can see that a lot of preachers that I know, including myself at times, boy, I have been downcast. Sheldon, I'm being honest, I'm really just downcast. I've said, Lord, forgive me. And I'm not teasing when I say, listen, daily I strive to call you out by name to pray for you. Because I know, I covet your praying for me because, you know, the battles are real today. But just think of it like this. Everything you're facing, you think it's for bad. Maybe it's the hand of God saying, I'm allowing it to happen. Even if you've done wrong and God sending it for that reason. But when you confess it, God takes that same thing that I would have molded in a positive way in your life. That's tough. And I tell you what, guys, I know what it's like missing your grandkids and my heart goes out to you. You know, when I thought about what reunion might be like when we get to heaven, to me, there's no better picture. And I sent a picture to Brother Chris, your pastor. And I tell you, that was just such a blessing to me. And they videoed the surprise of our grandkids. They thought we weren't going to be able to come. And Bella, the one who found out. But anyway, so we were hiding in a little area in a fence, a little corner. They couldn't see us. And so Stacy brought them home and said, there's something over there behind the fence. And so they went over and looking. And all of a sudden, Bella, whew, lost it. She jumped in the arms of Kathy, started weeping, jumped in my arms, started weeping. Then Ray at first, because it's been 2 years, standing there, we're not supposed to be here. And then she jumps at Papa, Papa, Papa. I think that's what heaven gonna be like when I see my Savior. When I see people that we've known that have passed on, won't that be? No sadness there. No sorrow. Thank you, Dad. Think of different people that we've known. Won't that be something? We're not going to be a bunch of strangers up there. No, no, no. Wow. And so we got to quit looking down and say, Lord, help me to let you work in me. Help me to drain myself of everything that's no good. Lord, help me to come to the place of complete surrender and brokenness because God never uses a vessel that has its own will, but only a vessel that is yielded. And the master, God had to bring her to the place, God, only thy will and the glory of God matter. Lord, we want you. We want you more than anything else. It's tough. This has become more real to me than before. To know Him. And to know the peace of God that is so real. I can't explain it, but it is real. But man, I said, oh God, help me not to resist what God is trying to do. See, problems, if you're not careful, will make you bitter. But they make you better. It's how you submit to God and say, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, thy will be done. I'm going to trust you. That's tough. Easier said than done, isn't it? Boy, when you get through the other side, there's nothing better, amen, to see the glory of God. But then also, thirdly, verses 9 through 16, we find her seeking and searching. In verses 9 through 16, we'll start in verse 6, verse 10. And notice what it says here. It said in verse 10, notice, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I mean, do you realize the sincerity, the passion that was there? She meant it. This was real. This was genuine. She was honestly seeking God with all her heart. When I come to the place that God, no matter what the cost, no matter what it takes, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to keep my knee here, my life here, till I sense that God is doing a work in my life. Lord, I need you. See, God can't work in the lives of others till He's worked in my own life. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And notice, she vowed a vow. And we know what the vow is. God, if you give me the child, if you give me that which I'm yearning for. And by the way, God put that in her heart. Then I'll give it to you. See, God wants to give us good things. The first thing God wants to give us is a heart for Him. A relationship with Him. And then in verse 12, and notice, and it came to pass, boy, the misunderstanding of a passionate heart. And we know this, we notice, and she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. She was moving her lips, but she wasn't saying it. She was praying and screaming aloud within her mind, but not with her actual words. And Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Man, the way this kind of weeping and mourning, this lady must be on something for sure. And said unto her, said, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I am broken. I'm broken. Is God trying to break the church that He may bless it? Is God trying to bring us to the place of total surrender that God can do great things like days of old? I think so, before the Lord comes. Can we experience the great movement of God? Well, that's up to you and I. Will we let Him? And don't be looking to others to see it done. Look to God yourself. I can't look at others because I got too much in my own life I have to work on every day, Lord. I'm broken. I'm just broken apart from Him. I'm totally broken. Undone apart from my Savior, my Lord, who's worthy of all praise and honor. Are you hungering and thirsting for His presence and power? I am. To see God work, and I want to see it happen in your lives. Could you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Woo, the rejoicing, the singing. Wow, I look forward to that. And notice, and then in verse 16, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken unto the Lord. In other words, I'm just being honest. I have a great need. I'm broken. I'm broken. I'm burdened for this need. Are we broken for the need of our own life first? Are we broken for the needs of others? Do we recognize that we have a great need, and we really do? We need you, Lord. Our city needs you. We need God's presence. Marriages are needing healing. Families are needing help. Young people, Satan's going after young people like never before. What do? We better recognize it's not resources, it's not this, it's going to be God and people walking with God that know God, get the power of God back on lives again. This is what I need. This is what God's been dealing with me. I can't answer for you, but I know what I need today. And I want that more than anything else. And then, well, anyway, like I said, I'm going to keep it brief. But then verses 17 through 19, she was promised and blessed and believing. The bottom line is, Eli said, you know what? The Lord bless. It's going to be okay. I'm putting my own words. It's okay. You know what? She didn't say, can you give me a sign? How do I know that you really are telling the truth? She just got up and went away. She had the peace of God. She believed the message. She believed that God spoke through him. She stood on it, and God gave her peace. God, give us confidence that when we pray, God will answer prayer. The closest thing I can relate to this, and I only had it to happen one time, and that was when I was still in the military, and I had no relationship with my dad, and I told the story here years and years ago here, but I do remember coming in. I just surrendered to preach. I was still in the military getting ready to get out and go to Bible college, and I remember coming home, and the burden was so heavy on my heart, and God just, I said, Kathy, I don't know why, but man, God had just burdened my heart. I said, I have to pray. I mean, it's just, I feel like God's crushing me. I went to the bedroom and said, God, I began to cry. I said, God, I don't know what this is. And God said, I want you to pray for your dad. I'd given up on him. I mean, he was a street bum. He was an alcoholic. He was gone. I mean, he was in and out of prison. I'd given up on him. And God said, I want you to pray that I will save him. I mean, I knew him. And I did. I said, Lord, I'm praying. Please, God, say. And then I had this. I've never done this before. People may look at me strange, but hey, I don't mind telling you because I knew it was of the Lord. God told me, he said, now I want you to thank me that I will save him. I've never had that happen. And I said, Lord, this is strange, but I'm going to thank you in advance. I'm going to believe that my God's going to do it. I got up from there. I forgot about it. Months later, got out of the military, went home, and I still remember to this day, I was sitting there with my grandparents and saying goodbye, getting ready to head off, you know, go to Bible college, and all of a sudden, the police car pulled up, and I'm thinking, oh, what's this all about? And my dad gets out. He was friends with all the policemen. They loved him. He just had that kind of personality. They take him everywhere. I mean, really, it just blew my mind. And, you know, but anyway, one of their regular customers. And he walks in, and then normally when he'd see me, he'd start mocking me and making fun of my religion. And all of a sudden, he says, I need help. I was 21. I was 20 or 21. He said, I need help. My life's a mess. Can you pray for me? I was blown away. I was blown away. So they lived out in the country. We went out under some old pine trees. We knelt down, and I'll never forget it. He pulled out his cigarettes, threw it away. I said, that's great. Can help you help it. I ain't going to save you. Then he pulled out a pint of whiskey. Hadn't he broken the seal? I'm thinking, you had that in the back of the police car. I said, that's crazy. Poured it out. I said, well, that's a good thing. That's not going to help you either, but that's not going to save you just because you threw it away. I said, I know. And then I told him the greatest story I'd ever been told. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. My dad started crying. Tears started coming. He said, Lord, I am a wicked sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And Jesus did. 6 months later, I get a call. My dad passed away. I was angry at first. But God, I don't understand it. But God knows what he was doing. He had cancer. He had cancer that day, and he didn't know it. He was dying. I looked in the coffin. It weighed 61 pounds. It just ate him down to the bone. But then I looked in that coffin. I said, I'm going to see you on the other side. He began to get up in church and began to sing hymns. He loved to sing. So one day, I'll be in heaven. Because God led me one day to pray that God would touch him. Dear friend, maybe God's trying to lead us to pray for people that are broken and battered. And only the power of prayer, the power of God can touch that heart to set them free. Because you and I can't do it. I can't. Satan is powerful, but they're no match for the power of God. And people that are hurting, Christians, need to pray, God, set them free, give them joy and victory. Lord, give the church what it needs today in these times of opposition. And, oh, we're under attack, but hey, listen, God is allowing it. And I'm having to accept it, and I don't like that. I'm being honest. That was a struggle for me, sis. I didn't like that. I don't like this. No, no, no. Make it pleasant. No. He said, Dave Cook, because I love you, this is for you. And he says, you know what, church in Thompson? I'm allowing this because I love you. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but God's on the throne. And then verse 11, I just jotted this down. She was yielded and surrendered. Verses 26 through 28, she recognized the source of the blessing. She realized it wasn't Eli. She knew that it was her God. The source of and the answer to prayer is God. It's not my sincere praying. It's God. But God wants me to be real and empty of self, that God can be God in my life. And then in verses 24 through 28, and I love this part, she was faithful and she was dedicated. She fulfilled her promise. She brought the child to Eli as she had promised. And I've lent him to the Lord. We know the word lent, that's a great word. And that means no strings attached. He's yours. God, I'm giving to you forever. Now think about this. Think about this. This is powerful. Her prayer made an impact upon the nation of Israel for years to come, because who was her son? Samuel, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. What can your prayer do? Oh my goodness gracious, there's no limit. But he's waiting for that sincere, passionate heart, that broken heart, that empty life. Lord, we need you. You know what? Prayer not only changes others, impacts others, but you know it did something. She had revival. In chapter 2, the next few verses, she is rejoicing. She is exalting the Lord. She is worshiping God because God brought her through the trials. God brought her to the place of fervent, passionate, humble praying. And God did great things. Do we realize we're empty today? Maybe your fridge is full and you got this, you got that, but that doesn't mean anything. It'll all be gone tomorrow the way you're. Nothing is certain today, but Jesus is stable year-round. Like I tell people, they talk about hoarding up things, getting ready for the long haul, the judgment. I said, well, I don't plan on being here during the tribulation period, so help yourself. And I said, I think it's good to be wise, but I said, how long are you going to prepare for? Years? I said, are you going to stop being a Christian? You're going to stop ministering to those that are in need? Well, they should listen. I said, do you think that's what Jesus would say? We don't stop serving because of times. We don't let fear dominate the Christian life or dominate us. Looking unto him. God is my source, my provision, not the world and not the government. Jesus Christ alone. I want every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. Like I said, nothing profound. I just want to share some thoughts that from what God's been trying to get my attention on, and I really do need your help, that God would pray for me to teach me how to pray. But can I give you just a challenge? Just where you are, just get along with God for a second and talk with God like you've never talked to him. Say, Lord, help me to accept what God is trying to do in our ministry, in our life. Help me to recognize what you did in Hannah's life. I do believe with all my heart, folks, God's trying to do in my life, in your life, to bring us to the place to make a real impact for God. Quit looking at the negative and things that have happened. Say, Lord, you've allowed it to happen for our good, to show us that God is strong in our behalf.